Be seated. Happy 4th of July. This is great. We celebrate 4th of July because there is freedom, right? We can gather together as one family, not being scared that there's an oppressor out there that's going to somehow encumber us from actually praising and worshiping our God. And so we celebrate our independence. We celebrate the fact that we have that freedom. But more importantly, today, it should also be a reminder that we have freedom in Christ, that Jesus has given us a real freedom, a freedom to actually pursue Him, a freedom to actually worship Him, a freedom to actually not be enslaved by our sin, but actually be enslaved to a new master, which is Jesus Christ. Let's go before the Lord this morning in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You, we love You, we make much of Your name. We thank You, You're here present. We pray in this beautiful 4th of July that You would remind us of the gift that You've given this country. The gift of freedom, independence from oppression. The fact that we can speak and to people about You, Jesus, is a testimony to You and what You've done to this country. And we praise You for that. This morning, we also praise You that You have made us free, free indeed. That we have a new master, and that master is You, Jesus. We're no longer enslaved by the things that we used to pursue. Although sometimes we struggle with those things, Lord, but that's not our master anymore. That's not our leader anymore, Lord. This morning, as we open our hearts to be moved by You and clear out our minds so we can learn from You, Jesus, we pray that we would just sense Your overwhelming presence this morning. We thank You, Christ our King. And everybody together here on site and online with one voice said, amen, amen. Again, welcome this morning. This has been a busy week, last 2 weeks from Backyard Bible Clubs or The Great Adventure. Many of you have been part of that. Your kids were part of that or your grandkids were part of that. Some of you were part of that, you know, through maybe not necessarily being there or having a child there, but maybe you were part of that because you invested in that financially or you invested in your time in that. Well, I'm going to give you a real quick glimpse through video what our students who led those Backyard Bible Clubs experienced. So let's run that clip this morning. Amen. And that's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's all about. It's this opportunity for these young children to actually have faith in Jesus, to decide to receive Christ as their leader and as their forgiver. And we saw that this last week, and it was amazing. We had three students. If you were in the teams that were part of that, would you stand up? Please be recognized. If you're a student in Backyard Bible Club, these were some of the teams that were leading in those clubs. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. They did amazing. They did amazing this last week. And today we have a special treat in the sense of service will be organized a little bit different. We're going to see the skits that they did during that week a little bit later during the service so that we can get a glimpse of, man, look at what those kids experienced. And maybe in so doing, maybe in you experiencing that, maybe looking at that through the filter and the eyes of maybe a child, you'll get a grasp of the magnitude and the power of our King, our God, Jesus, and what he's doing in this city. But first of all, I just want to make mention that God loves everybody, right? We know that. Generally speaking, he loves his creation, but he has a very special love for kids. Jesus loves kids. And kids tend to be naturally curious, right? They naturally are curious of who Jesus is. They tend to want to know more about who Christ is and explore who God is. And we saw that this week. And our job as parents or grandparents, our primary job is to disciple or help our kids, right, to help them have a walk with Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus. That's our primary role, to help them along the way. And one of the most beautiful pictures that we see in Scripture that relates to Jesus and children is found in the Gospel of Mark, which we've been studying. So if you brought your Bible, go to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. We're going to continue in this series that we're doing in the Gospel of Mark. As a matter of fact, we skipped the passage so we can talk about the children today. But next Sunday, we're going to talk about marriage. So, for those who are married, who also want to be married, those who know somebody who's married, it's going to be a great Sunday to talk about marriage and the beauty of marriage and how to improve your marriage as well along the way. So go to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. Now here the idea, when it says parents, some of your translation doesn't say parents. And that's because it could be parents, it could be grandparents, family members. The basic idea is that people that know these kids are bringing these kids to Jesus. They're bringing them before him to be touched and blessed. This is, but the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. So just imagine the picture. A parent, a grandparent, maybe an aunt or an uncle is bringing a child that they know before Jesus. And you have the disciples, maybe the 12 disciples, somewhat of a wall protecting Jesus. They're saying, no, you can't come close to him. You can't do that. Now, there's a couple of things going on in this passage that we don't see right away. And one of the things that's going on is that children, like I said last Sunday, are very, very undervalued in the first century, whether that's in the Roman world or also in the Jewish world. They have very little value. As a matter of fact, they don't really get place value on them until they're about 12 to 14 years old, when the boys would start doing their trade after they've been trained. And so and the women had very little to no value. And on top of that, these kids are not Jewish kids. So the disciples are like, no, you can't, you see, you can't bring it close to Jesus. No, you can't do that. You can't bring him close. They're not one of us and their children. Verse 14, when Jesus saw that, what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. Very seldom do we see Jesus angry. And anybody but the Pharisees. I mean, he gets pretty angry with the Pharisees. But outside of the Pharisees, you don't see Jesus angry really with the disciples. Frustrated, yes. Annoyed, yes. But angry, not really. But here we see he's angry with his disciples. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. See, that's why he's angry. He's like, no. Don't stop him. Don't stop the children from coming to me. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. Verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, or who doesn't receive the leadership of Jesus as ruler and reigning king of your life, those who don't receive Jesus will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. Now, I want to make just four observations off of this passage that I think will be real good for us to know as we relate with children, as we think about children in general. And the first one is this: it's good for parents to bring their children to Jesus. Now, that sounds kind of fairly obvious, right? Like, it is good for parents to bring their children to Jesus. That's what Jesus is doing here. It's like parents are bringing their kids to Jesus. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's something that Jesus actually looks down on, and it's like, yeah, this is good. When children or students or teenagers are brought before Jesus, it pleases Jesus. And it's important for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles to understand that bringing children to church, for example, is a good thing, to make sure that they have spiritual training from the earliest age is a good thing. To connect your kids to kids' church or here at church is a good thing. Because we see these parents, they're bringing in their kids. They're like, all they're looking for is like, man, can we bring our kids? And maybe perhaps in bringing our kids, maybe they can be blessed by this Jesus. Maybe Jesus can just, they've heard about Jesus, maybe he can just give a blessing to them. Endless activities that infringe upon your ability, my ability, to be consistent in bringing kids to church, kids to Jesus, to hear about Jesus, are dangerous. That shouldn't be the norm. Little League shouldn't be the norm. Being out on Sunday, every Sunday because of sports, should not be the norm. Sorry, folks, but it should not be the norm. It's bringing kids to Jesus. It is easily important to bring children to Jesus when we remember that kids have a whole life in front of them. They have a life still to live. They're little still. They're students still. And when we remember that, man, why wouldn't we bring our kids or students to encounter the very presence of Jesus? Now, we also see here that Jesus warns against hindering children from approaching him. He warns about hindering children from approaching him. He says he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Like I mentioned before, you know, the context of this passage is these kids are not valued in that century. They, not only are they not valued, they're coming from a non-Jewish background as well, from Perea, which is not a Jewish place. It's a Gentile place or a non-Jewish place. It's under the Roman Empire. And so the disciples are like, nuh-uh. We're going to hinder them from experiencing Jesus. And just like they were hindering the children, may we never be the hindrance for our own kids experiencing Jesus and encountering Jesus and hearing about Jesus and getting to learn about Jesus. May it never be said of us that when we go before the Lord, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, that Jesus is going to ask, like, what did you do with your kids? May it never be said of us that we're like, well, we had better things to, you know, we had cookouts and we had sports and we had all these things. May we never be in that situation with Jesus. R.L. Sharp wrote this. He said, isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns and caper and sawdust rings and common folk like you and me are the builders of eternity? To each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, and a book of rules, and each must make, ere time is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. We can either be a stepping stone with our children. Even if you don't have children, when you invest in serving as a volunteer in kids' church, you could be a stepping stone. Or even financially, when you give financially, you're being a stepping stone for our kids. Or you can be a stumbling block. Like the disciples who were like, no, don't come near. right? We're either building or we're making hindrances, stumbling blocks for kids. The third observation is this. It's better to put your faith in Christ as a child. Now, most of us would agree generally with that statement. I mean, I didn't start following Jesus' leadership, his ways, his words, and his works until I was in my 20s. Man, boy, I really messed up before then. I mean, most of us would agree that there's a lot of things that we wouldn't have done if we would have been following Jesus, his example, would have followed the leadership of Jesus as he empowered us through the Holy Spirit. I mean, so many of us have so many regrets. But that's part of why we introduced kids. Backyard Bible Club is in part introducing kids to Jesus Christ at an early age. You know, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." And he took them in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. From a young age, it's better to put your faith in Christ as a child. Right now, there's kids in the back. They're learning about Jesus at their level and at God's pace. And that's a good thing. Matter of fact, the research shows that in America, 50% of Christians come to know the Lord before the age of 13. 50% of Christians before the age of 13. We also see that 64% come to Christ before the age of 18. And 77% come to Christ before the age of 21. 77% before the age of 21. That means that only 23% of Christians in the U.S. put their faith in Jesus past the age of 21. That's why it's immensely critical for us to introduce children to Jesus at an early age. As a matter of fact, Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers of all time, passed away many moons ago. He said this, "But these dear boys and girls, there is something to be made out of them. If now they yield themselves to Christ, they may have a long, happy, and holy day before them in which they may serve God with all their hearts. Who knows what glory God may have of them? Heathen lands may call them blessed. Whole nations may be enlightened by them." And his point is, like, so much future for kids. Right? If you put your faith in Jesus Christ at 70, I mean, you only have a couple of years to be used for the service of God in this side of eternity. But if you're a child, how many more impact could they have in serving God here, this side of heaven? The fourth observation is this: to enter God's kingdom, you must think like a child. Not be like a child, but think like a child. Not be childish, but childlike. Here it says, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. What does that mean? What does that even mean? Folks, children, they don't bring anything to the table. Particularly in that century, there's no value in them in the sense of there's no inherent value. The Romans would say things like, you know, if it's a girl, oh, man, we just get rid of her, right? If it's a boy, we'll keep the boy. They didn't bring anything of substantial value in terms of their mindset in the first century. Folks, we don't bring anything of value to God. We just come with our mess. We're like, God, here we are. Here's my mess. And we receive him, not because we are bringing anything to him other than ourselves and saying, God, here I am. And that's how we enter into the kingdom. That's how we receive all the blessings that God has in store for us. It's when we are broken and in humility depend on God. That's the whole point of it. You're depending on God. A child typically doesn't worry how you're going to provide for food. They're not at night wrestling at, you know, like, oh, how is mom and dad going to give us those, you know, Pop-Tarts in the morning? You know, the good, healthy food, right? How are they going to get us, you know, the clothing that we have? They're not worried about that. Why? Because they're depending on somebody else. They're depending on parents to do that. And the same thing with Jesus saying, if you want to be my child, if you want to be you know, have a relationship with me? You have to be like a child. Will you depend on me? Will you know that you don't have enough in you? You have to depend on me, all of me, for all that you need. Here's three characteristics that are worth emulating, I think, that we see from children that are really good, and that's a sense of awe and wonder. That is really, really good, that sense of awe and wonder. It's good. It's the idea of really approaching God the way children approach things in general. There was this one backyard Bible club that I went to as I was recording and doing some of the video stuff throughout the different sites, and there was this one club, the one in the Lions Park, and there was this little girl, I think her name was Brenly, and she was just off to the side, and I was thinking, what is she doing? She had a cute little cap, you know, she was just a little small little girl, and she was just kind of doing something on the floor, and I was wondering, what is she doing? So I go over there, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she picks up this sharp piece of glass, you know, broken bottle or something. I don't know what it was. She's like, look. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that's not good. I wouldn't want your parents to know that you're picking up glass. And she's like, this is pretty. I was like, yes, this is pretty cool. It was green. But it looked like it was sharp. I was like, well, let's put it in the trash. Like, I like to keep it. I'm thinking, no, like, let's put it in the trash. And she's like, no, I want to keep it. So what do you tell a child? It's like, okay, I'll try and convince her later to give me the sharp glass, right? Well, by the end of the club, she comes back. I'm thinking, oh, good, she probably got rid of the glass, right? And she comes up to me and says, look what I found. Like, she had a handful of glass, right? Yeah, like 4 or 5 pieces. And I'm thinking, aren't they pretty? And I'm thinking, yes, they are, sweetie, but your parents are going to think that that's the way we reward you, you know, when you're good, that we give you glass, you know, that's what you take home. And so finally I was able to convince her, and I said, hey, listen, why don't we get rid of the ones that look kind of sharp, right? And let's keep the one that maybe it's not as sharp. And so there was one that wasn't really sharp, but it was the biggest one. It's like, oh, this is pretty. And she was like, yes, it is. And so I put sanitizer and I cleaned it. And I was like, man, this is going to be a weird time. The parents like, hey, by the way, we give her a piece of like broken glass. You know, so I was like, hey, let's put it in a little baggie so you don't hurt yourself. So we put it in a little baggie. And then when the parents came, man, I made a beeline to the parents, like, hey, listen, I just want you to know that your daughter was really curious, and she got herself a little treasure. And this is the treasure she got herself. And I went out of my way to say, hey, listen, this is not the way we reward him, you know. And they were very gracious, and they're like, yeah, we understand. And so, but the excitement she had was amazing. Like, do we approach God that way? With this sense of, oh, this is Jesus, and I just love this Jesus, and man, I just found myself Jesus, and I want to pursue him. And do you wake up in the morning like you just found a shattered piece of glass that's green and is to use your highest treasure? Or do we wake up in the morning just like, oh yeah, I have a relationship with Jesus, you know, whatever. Like children, like the way they approach stuff, you know, it should be very, very instructive to us, and the way we should approach God, like a child. The second thing is, have you noticed that children have a simple trust? They have a simple trust. They just trust. They have this trust, you know, that they trust you as a parent. They don't tend to worry about how you're going to provide for their needs. If their shoes are all torn up, they're not worried about how you're going to provide for their needs. They're not worried about how you're going to bring in the food that comes to their table. They just trust you. And that's like Jesus. To enter the kingdom of God, to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus, we have this trust. We're just going to trust them. We're not going to trust in ourselves, but we're just going to trust him. And then children also have the spirit of forgiveness. Have you noticed that too? The spirit of forgiveness. As adults, we get kind of jaded, and so somebody hurts us, and we have grudges. And boy, it takes a long time for us to get rid of grudges, doesn't it? And for some of you, you've struggled a lifetime to get rid of grudges. But kids, man, if they poke on each other, one of them hurts the other, next thing you know, they're holding hands and going to the playground. They have this innate sense of quick forgiveness. And isn't it ironic that even Jesus says, like, we have to forgive just like he forgives us. And that's something we see in children. Now, this morning, I brought up this morning to simply say that we're going to do something unique, something different. And what we're going to do is we're going to see what the kids saw this last week by way of skits. We're going to have our students who were part of the Backyard Bible Clubs do the skits they did. You see, what they did last week is they had this theme of Peter. They were talking about Peter's life. And in order for them to communicate what Peter and what Jesus was doing through Peter, they used skits to do that so that the kids could understand. So I'm going to invite the children to come up, and I want you to see the skits today through the eyes of children. So I'm going to invite the kids. I know this is unusual for our church to do this, but bear with me, bear with us. I want to invite the kids to come up. Let's give the kids applause. I want them to sit right here in front, you know. There you go. These are some of the kids are at kids' church. Good to see you guys. Come on in. Oh, there you are. We're just talking about you a little while ago. But you still have the piece of glass? You do? Awesome. You haven't cut yourself yet? Awesome. That's cool. By the way, that's Brenly. Can you raise your hand so people can see you? Raise your hand. There you go. That's Brenly right there. Kids, we're so glad to see you guys. Now, we're going to do something really special this morning. We're going to have the students do some skits that they did this past week. Now, we're gonna listen to them quietly, and maybe you're gonna hear some people laughing because they're gonna be funny. And so, you guys ready for this? All right. Why don't we have them come up? Should we give the students a round of applause as they come up?
Wow, I can't believe we're finally here. Eternal Studios Adventure Park. Man, isn't this place awesome? Oh, I almost forgot to introduce myself. Hi, my name is Petey, and I've wanted to come here since I was a little kid. You see, Eternal Studios Adventure Park has lots of cool things, like rides and a bunch of adventures. Oh, but the most cool part is all the superheroes live here. And oh, look, the Batman ride, where you go into Batman's cave, and the Spider-Man ride, where you swing from building to building. I can't wait to ride all these rides. Oh, but the real reason I'm here is because my friend told me about this superhero. His name is the Super One, and he said that he's even more awesome than Batman. Can you imagine someone more awesome than Batman? I think he's going a little crazy, but that's what he said. Oh, I forgot to introduce you. This is my robot, and he's my guide. My friend gave him to me. SPR-1, hello.
Beep, boop, bop.
Can you... Oh, he's saying hello. Can you talk in words we can understand, SPR-1?
Beep, boop, affirmative. My name is SPR-1.
SPR-1. Well, I'm ready to start my adventure. How are you going to help me?
Beep, boop, look at the map on my monitor. Follow it exactly.
Oh, okay. Whoa! Eternal Studios Adventure Park is so big! I can't wait to go on all the rides. Oh, but by the way, what did you mean by exactly?
Follow the map exactly. There's only one way to the Super One,
whoa,
believe me.
Wonka World, the Wild Wild West, Pirate Bay. Ooh, and the Batcave. I really want to ride by the Batmobile. That's going to be so fun.
Beep, ooh, boop.
Oh, what? We can't go to Batman's cave. We have to go to the Wild Wild West? I don't want to go there. Yeah, hey, I have a good idea. You go there, and I'll go to the Batman's cave. Sounds like a plan.
Warning, warning, warning.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Be quiet. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Beep, boop.
Read the monitor. This SPR-1 unit is programmed to guide you in the right direction. You must follow his instructions. If you don't, he will shout warnings at you.
Keep reading.
If you do not follow the instructions of this SPR-1 unit, you clearly do not believe. If he shouts warnings at you 3 times, you will be kicked out of the park?
What? That can't happen. I've waited my whole life to be here. I can't get kicked out.
Beep boop. Follow the map exactly.
But SPR-1, how about this? You go to the Wild Wild West, and I go to Wonka World. And I'll meet you there later. All right, cool. Sounds like a plan.
Warning, danger, warning, danger.
SPR-1, listen. How about this? We'll go to the Wolverine, because I want to ride the Wolverine ride. All right, let's go. We'll go together. I want to have some fun first.
Warning, warning, warning.
SPR-1, we've been over this. I'll meet you there, okay? I'll meet you there.
Oh, no, you don't, young man. Stop right there.
Oh, who are you?
Security, and you're being detained. You've been given SPR-1 to help guide you. You are instructed to follow the map exactly, and 3 times you have not followed the map. You obviously do not think that is important to follow SPR-1. You're in danger of being kicked out of the park.
SPR-1, you were telling the truth.
You're to come with me for questions.
SPR-1, I believe you now.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. On the count of 2, you will be stuck in glue. 1, 2, bibbidi bobbidi boo. Petey, you say you really, really believe now, so I will help you. Mr. Security, on the count of 2, you will think a giant, giant, giant bumblebee is chasing you. 1, 2, bibbidi bobbidi boo.
What's that? Do you hear it? It's a bumblebee, a giant bumblebee. Help me, mommy.
Whoa. SPR-1, you were telling the truth. I guess you were right.
Beep, boop, bop.
I guess we should go to the Wild Wild West then. Oh, let's go.
Oh, no.
Beep, boop, bop, bop.
I'm coming, SPR-1. Hold up. And I believe you this time. I'll follow you no matter what.
Beep boop.
It's true. I will, because I do not want to get kicked out of this park. I've waited my whole life to be here, and I will not get kicked out. So you won't have to shout warning, warning at me anymore.
Beep bop.
You know what? As a matter of fact, SPR-1, I will do whatever you say. Anything you tell me to do, I will do it.
Beep deep boop.
You want me to jump on 1 foot? Easy enough.
Beep boop.
Bark like a dog, too. Okay.
Beep bop.
Okay, I'll say it. I will follow you to the Wild Wild West. I won't take a step without you.
What do we have here? What are you supposed to be? A dog? And you, what are you, a robot? I thought robots was supposed to be smart or something. You sit right here, baby. I think my horse over here got more brains than you do, son.
Beep boop.
Beep boop. Enough of that. You ain't gonna be fooling nobody else with that beep booping. Like I always say, never miss a good chance to shut up.
Who are you?
I'm a cowboy, you know, man with guts, and a horse. More important question, who are you? Why are you playing such buddy-buddy with this tin can? All I see you do is follow him and ask him where to go. Can't you think for yourself, son?
I can think.
To me, it looks like you're a baby and he's your mommy. You can't go anywhere without him.
I can go anywhere I want.
Prove it! But if you hop in the saddle, be ready for a ride, boy.
Where do you want me to go? I'll go.
Warning, warning, warning.
How about that lip? Me and the boy are set for a duel.
Warning, danger, warning.
Bah! Hold on. Now I'll ask you one more time. You friends with this robot here? You do what he says?
No, I'm not his friend. I don't know him.
Right in my trap.
No, I'm stuck.
Now, you have to do whatever he says?
No.
You just choose to.
No, I don't. I don't even know who he is. I don't follow him.
Bah! Stay right there, son.
Oh.
One more time. I want you to answer honestly. You friends with that thing? That
no.
ABC123?
No, I don't know him. I told you for the last time. I don't even know him.
Now tell me, son. Why would the super one want to mess with a dirty, black-blobbed loser such as yourself? I'll answer it for you. He doesn't. Okay?
No.
Now chew on that. I'll be back for the horse later.
Oh, no. What did I just do?
Beep boop.
I can't believe I just did that. I said I wasn't your friend, SPR-1. I said that I didn't follow you. And look at me now. Stuck and dirty. Forever lost.
Oh, looks like we got another one. People come through the wild, wild west, and then they get in a duel with that cowboy. You got stuck in a bad choice, didn't you?
Who's there?
Oh, I'm part of the cleaning crew. I go around, I clean people's messes, and I clean up all this dirty mess that people make.
That's me. Will I ever get out of this?
Oh, of course you will. All you have to do is humbly ask for forgiveness, and then I will be able to clean you right up.
SPR-1, I am so sorry that I said I wasn't your friend, and that I abandoned you. Will you please forgive me?
Beep boop. Affirmative, you are forgiven.
Wow. Thank you, SPR-1. Yesterday and today you forgave me.
Beep boop bop.
But can we please get out of the wild, wild west now?
Beep
okay.
Boop.
Where do we go?
Beep to the Pirate Bay.
Oh, no. Not pirates. Well, yippee-ki-yay, I sure am glad to be out of the wild, wild west. That sure was a doozy. Am I right, SPR-1?
Beep boop.
But you know what? I learned my lesson, and I will follow you no matter what from now on.
Beep boop.
It's true. And you know what? I think I see what's going on here, SPR-1.
Beep.
Yes, yes. I think that you're giving me challenges, so that way I'll be ready to see the super one when I finally meet him.
Bop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think I've learned something. I've learned that when I don't follow you and generally make bad choices, I end up getting in trouble, and I end up getting stuck. So, you know what? From now on, I will follow you.
Beep boop.
But where do we go again?
Beep to Pirate Bay.
Ooh, pirates? Let me look at the map. Oh, hey, SPR-1, it says here we can go around Pirate Bay. And look, it takes us through George's Jungle. Or look, we can go this other way, and it takes us through Sesame Street. That sounds way safer. Come on, let's go that way.
Warning!
Oh, you're right, SPR-1. What was I thinking? I should know by now to follow you, right? And you know what? It's true. If I follow you, I can trust that nothing bad will happen to me. Oh, right, SPR-1? Right, SPR-1?
You scallywags! Who do you think you be passing through this here bay? Pass this way, you may not, savvy.
SPR-1, it's a pirate! An ugly pirate.
Beep boop.
Well, blow me down and shiver me timbers. Me never seen a landlubber like you before.
That's SPR-1, and he's my friend. Don't mess with him.
Who might you be, matey?
The name's Petey.
Arr!
Pirate!
I'll ask you again. What for you be passing through this here bay?
I'm on my way to see the Super One, and SPR-1 is going to show me how to get there.
Arg! Shiver me timbers! No, me doesn't like the Super One. I forbid it. Me doesn't take kinder to those who be searching for him either.
But the Super One is awesome.
Arr! Never speak that name.
Super One.
Arg!
Super One. Super One. Super One.
You scallywags! Time to walk the plank and find yourselves in Davy Jones' locker. Your shark baits now.
No. SPR-1, what is this? I thought if I followed you, everything would go good for me. Look at this. This is not good.
Beep, boop, proud of you. Went right way. This is good.
You know what, SPR-1? I think you're right. Because even though I'm stuck here, and I don't know why, I do know that I feel really good that I followed you. And you know what? I've been rescued before, and I trust that I'll be rescued again. Well, after I take a nap, because, man, I'm feeling really, really sleepy all of a sudden.
Good night.
I'll be back.
There you go, Petey. You are rescued.
Whoa. I just had the craziest dream that I was saved by an angel. Man, it's too bad I'm still stuck here with this pirate.
What pirate? I don't see a pirate.
Oh, it wasn't a dream. You really did save me.
No, Petey, it wasn't a dream. I was sent by the Super One to come and rescue you because he saw that you were believing and you were doing a great job obeying. Your next destination is Future Frontier. SPR-1 will be waiting for you at Space Mountain.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow, we're finally here. Future Frontier. I wonder what we'll find. In Pirate's Bay, we saw a pirate. In the Wild Wild West, we saw a cowboy. I wonder what we'll find in Future Frontier. Aliens? Life from other planets? Maybe we'll find more robots like you, SPR-1. But all I know is that I can't wait to finally see the Super One.
Beep boop.
Open my eyes and see. Okay. I don't see anything, SPR-1. There's nothing here.
Beep boop.
He's asking me what I know about the Super One. Well, I know lots of things about the Super One. Well, let's see. He's powerful. He'll always be with me. He's my true guide. And he knows a lot of things about Eternal Studios Adventure Park.
Beep boop. This is good. Open your eyes and see again.
Okay. I don't see anything here, SPR-1. Well, nothing except you, I guess. Wait a minute. You, SPR-1? Wait a minute. You've been with me this whole time. You know a lot of things about Eternal Studios Adventure Park. And you are my true guide.
Beep boop.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you're the Super One?
Affirmative. This is true.
Wait. So you're the one who sent all those rescuers to rescue me?
This is true.
And this whole time I was looking for you, but you were you this whole time while I was looking for you.
Affirmative. This is true.
Whoa. Wait. But this doesn't make any sense, SPR-1. You see, your name is SPR-1, not Super One. Wait a minute. SPR-1 stands for Super One. Oh, my goodness. How did I not notice this before?
Beep boop.
Thank you so much, SPR-1. I can't believe this whole time you were the Super One, and I was looking for you. I can't believe it. Well, I mean, I can, because, well, you're you, but this is crazy.
Beep boop.
Thank you so much for helping me see you, I guess. I mean, thank you.
Beep boop.
And you know what? I'm so glad that my friend introduced me to you at the beginning of this adventure, because this whole thing has really changed my life.
Can you help me? I'm a little lost here.
Oh, yeah, what do you need, kid?
Well, you see, I'm new here to Eternal Studios Adventure Park, and I heard about all the superheroes, and I heard about the Super One, and so I really want to meet the Super One.
You know what? I have just the thing you need. See this robot here? He's programmed to help you find the Super One.
That's so cool. Thank you.
Yeah, all you have to do is make sure to do whatever he says and obey his commands and follow him, well, no matter what.
Seems easy enough.
Yeah. SPR-1? This is SPR-1. I mean.
Beep boop.
You know, I saw Batman's cave earlier, and I really want to go there to drive the Batmobile. And so, can we go do that first?
Beep boop.
Can you talk in words I can understand?
Beep bop.